¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Other people talk about childhood homes as places of comfort, places they still miss. When he thinks about the house he grew up in, what he remembers isn't nostalgia. It's tension. It's the feeling of always being watched even when no one else was around. The house was old, especially for a small town in Pennsylvania. It had been one of the first buildings put there back when the area was nothing but farmland. The neighborhood that surrounded it now hadn't existed then. Streets, sidewalks, and rows of newer homes came much later. The house had stood alone for a long time. It still felt that way. From the outside, there was nothing remarkable about it. It looked like any other farmhouse that had been updated just enough to stay livable. Inside, though, the air always felt heavy. Not cold, not damp. Just heavy, like sound didn't travel quite right and silence pressed in harder than it should. As a child, he didn't have language for any of that. He only knew he was scared. At night, the fear took shape. He had recurring night terrors that began as far back as he can remember. They weren't the kind of dreams that changed every time. They followed a pattern, the same image, over and over. A shadow figure stood in the corner of his bedroom. It never rushed toward him. It never spoke. It never reached out. It just stood there, tall and unmoving, watching him sleep. Even in the dream, he knew it had been there longer than he had, that the room belonged to it more than it belonged to him. Sometimes the dream would continue. The figure would move, and without understanding why, he would follow it into the other room. His bedroom connected to a second room that served as a playroom. The doorway between them was always open. In the dream, the shadow would cross that threshold, and he would trail behind, already terrified, but unable to stop. The playroom closet was always the same. Darkness surrounded it in a way that didn't make sense. Not shadows cast by furniture, not a lack of light. It was as if the darkness itself had weight, thick and intentional. He knew without seeing it that the figure was inside the closet now, waiting. That was usually when he woke up screaming. As he grew older, the dreams became less frequent, but the fear didn't leave. He just learned how to exist while he was awake. Sometimes he would be playing video games in the playroom when the feeling would hit him suddenly without warning. The certainty that someone was watching him. It was so strong it made his chest tighten and his stomach turn. He wouldn't finish what he was doing. He wouldn't even pause the game. He would just leave the room, heart pounding, because staying felt dangerous in a way he couldn't explain. The house tolerated him when things were calm. It reacted when they weren't. When he was around 11 or 12, his parents started fighting constantly. Not quiet disagreements, real fights. Voices raised, doors slammed. The tension lived in every room. Even when no one was speaking, it felt like the house was holding its breath. That was when he saw her for the first time. He was lying at the bottom of the stairs, looking up toward the second floor landing. He remembers the position clearly because it made what he saw impossible to mistake. An old woman walked across the landing and disappeared into his bedroom. She wore a long white dress. Her hair was cut short, close to her head. She moved slowly, carefully, like someone conserving strength. And the strangest part of the experience wasn't seeing her at all. It was how he felt. He wasn't afraid. There was no instinct to run, no panic, just a deep, overwhelming sadness that seemed to pour into him the moment he saw her. It felt heavy, like grief that didn't belong to him, but had been placed on his chest anyway. A week later, he told his mother what he had seen. He expected her to laugh it off or tell him it was his imagination. Instead, her expression changed immediately. Her mouth fell open slightly, and she stared at him in silence for several seconds before speaking. "That's what she looked like," she said. The woman who had lived in the house before them, she had short gray hair because she had cancer. She wore dresses like that because she had been a nurse. Hearing those details didn't comfort him. It made the experience feel locked into place, like a puzzle piece, snapping where it belonged. After that, the house stopped pretending. The nightmares about the shadow figure returned with intensity. And now the activity crossed into the physical world. Objects began to move, not fall, not tip over. Move. At night, while trying to sleep, he would hear loud crashes from the playroom. The sounds were violent, sudden, followed by long stretches of silence that felt intentional. Once, he left his bedroom door cracked and watched a fold-up chair lift off the floor and slide across the room. Another night, the closet door in the playroom slammed over and over again. He told himself it was the wind until tools started flying out of the chest next to it, striking the walls with metallic force. That was when he stopped sleeping in his room. For nearly a year, he slept on the floor in his parents' bedroom. Even then, sleep didn't come easily. Silence had become worse than noise. He slept with earplugs, terrified of what he might hear if he didn't. Eventually, his parents made up. The fighting stopped. The house seemed to calm with it, like it had lost interest for a while. When he was 15, his grandmother moved in with them. One night, the family sat around the dinner table talking about nothing important. In the middle of a sentence, his mother stopped speaking and looked up. "Do you feel that?" she asked. The temperature dropped instantly. Then the black figure from his nightmares walked behind her. It moved through the room as if it belonged there, passing behind each person at the table. When it reached him, it touched his shoulder. The contact was brief, but it was enough. He ran outside, gasping for air, shaking so badly he couldn't speak. No one else saw it. He never understood why he was the only one who could. Not long after that, his mother woke up screaming in the middle of the night. They rushed into her bedroom to find her sitting upright, terrified. Then, just as suddenly as it had escalated, everything went quiet again. He let himself hope it was over. He was wrong. By the time he reached his late teens, fear had become background noise. It didn't disappear. It didn't lessen. It simply learned how to live alongside everything else. He learned which rooms felt safer and which ones never did. He learned when the house felt quiet because it was calm, and when it felt quiet because it was waiting. He learned, most of all, not to talk about it. Friends came over occasionally but never stayed long. Something about the house made people restless. They shifted in their seats. They found excuses to leave early. No one ever said why, but he could see it in their faces, the way their eyes lingered too long on doorways, the way their voices dropped without them realizing it. By 19, he was desperate for something normal. That was when he met his girlfriend. She was calm in a way he wasn't, grounded, practical, the kind of person who didn't jump at noises or read too much into feelings. Being around her made the world feel steadier, and for the first time in a long time, the house seemed to tolerate that. She started staying over more often, at first just weekends, then most nights. Eventually, it felt easier for her to just stay there altogether. Her presence brought a sense of balance he hadn't felt before, and for several months, nothing happened. No nightmares, no moving objects, no shadows. He started to believe the house had lost interest in him. Then one afternoon, they lay down for a nap. He was half asleep when her scream tore through the room. It wasn't startled or confused. It was raw fear. He bolted upright and grabbed her, trying to pull her back into the moment, asking what was wrong. She couldn't speak at first. She just cried, shaking, her eyes locked on the corner of the room. Finally, she whispered, "There was a guy standing there, watching us." The way she said it made his stomach drop. She wasn't describing a dream. She was describing something she had seen clearly, something that hadn't vanished the moment she woke up. "He didn't move," she said. "He was just there, like he's been there for a long time." He didn't tell her about the shadow figure from his childhood. He didn't tell her how familiar the corner was. He told her it was probably a bad dream. because he wanted to protect her from the truth he'd spent his whole life learning. But the house didn't need explanations. From that moment on, her dreams changed. Almost every night she woke up shaking, saying she felt watched, saying she couldn't move, saying she knew someone was standing just out of sight. Sometimes she cried. Sometimes she stared at the ceiling in silence, refusing to look around the room. About a week after her dreams began, his grandmother started getting sick. At first it was subtle. She slept more, ate less, moved slower. Then came doctor visits and hushed conversations, the kind that stopped when someone else entered the room. Downstairs, there was a framed photo of his grandmother sitting on a stand, nothing special, just a family picture. One day, they came home and found it propped against the bottom of the stand. They fixed it. The next day, it happened again. Every single day, for nearly 2 months, the photo was moved. Never knocked over, never fallen, always deliberately placed at the base of the stand as if someone wanted it seen that way. Eventually, the frame broke. They put the picture away. A week later, his grandmother was diagnosed with cancer. The day they got the diagnosis, another photo of her, this one hanging in the living room, came off the wall. It didn't slide down. It didn't fall straight. It landed 5 feet away. The nail was still in the wall. He tried to explain it away. Stress, coincidence, grief, searching for meaning. But the explanations felt thin, especially when the house kept adding details he couldn't ignore. One morning, half asleep and running late for work, he passed the bathroom his father always used. The door was cracked. In the mirror, he saw what looked like his dad standing there. "Bye, Dad," he said automatically. The figure grunted back exactly the way his father always did. It wasn't until he reached the driveway that he realized his father's car was gone. His dad had left for work hours earlier. He stood there for a long time, staring at the house, trying to convince himself he hadn't seen what he knew he'd seen. When he checked the bathroom later, it was empty. That was when the dog started acting strange. They had two large dogs, a German Shepherd and a Shar Pei. The Shepherd was confident and loyal. The Shar Pei was cautious, always alert. At first, it was small things, the dogs hiding when no one was home. The Shar Pei refusing to go upstairs, planting his feet at the bottom of the steps and trembling. The Shepherd barking at empty hallways, his body stiff, eyes tracking movement. No one else could see. Then one afternoon in the kitchen, the Shepherd slammed hard into the back of his legs, knocking him forward. It wasn't playful. It wasn't accidental. It looked like someone had shoved him. The dog skidded across the floor and bolted upstairs, hiding under the bed. His girlfriend stared at him, pale. "Something pushed him," she said. After that, the house became louder. They would hear pounding on his bedroom door when no one else was home. Not knocking, pounding. The handle would shake violently as if someone was trying to get in. They would hear footsteps climbing the stairs, slow and deliberate, followed by movement upstairs, even when his grandmother could barely walk and his parents were gone. The Shepherd never left their side. He positioned himself between them and doorways, between them and staircases. The Shar Pei refused to go upstairs at all. One day, while he was at work, his girlfriend called him crying. When she finally calmed down enough to speak, she said four words that made his chest tighten. "I saw her again." He hadn't told her about the old woman in detail, but she described her perfectly. The dress, the short hair, the slow movement. "She's in so much pain," his girlfriend said. "I felt it, like it poured into me." That's when he realized there were two presences in the house. One came with sadness, with grief, with the feeling of wanting to help but not knowing how. The other came with terror. The second presence didn't linger quietly. It called their names. It spoke in a low, threatening male voice that sounded wrong, like speech being forced through something that didn't quite know how to speak. When that voice appeared, fear wasn't emotional. It was physical, nauseating, like being pushed toward the door and out of the house. For a brief time, everything stopped. His grandmother went into the hospital for treatment, and the house went quiet. Not normal, just silent. The dogs relaxed. The pounding stopped. The footsteps faded. They prayed. They talked about how calm things felt. They allowed themselves to believe the house had lost whatever had fueled it. The day his grandmother came home, they said that out loud, and the house listened. The night his grandmother came home from the hospital, the house felt wrong before anything happened. Not loud, not active, just tight, like the walls were holding something in. The air felt heavier than it had in weeks, and even the dog seemed uneasy the moment she walked through the door. The Shar-Pei refused to come downstairs. The German Shepherd stayed pressed against his leg, watching the hallway like he was waiting for something to appear. That afternoon, he and his girlfriend sat on the edge of his bed, talking quietly. They said the things you say when you're exhausted and hopeful at the same time. They talked about how calm the house had been, how nothing had happened while his grandmother was gone, how maybe it had all been connected to stress, to illness, to fear feeding fear. They didn't mean to challenge anything. They just wanted relief. That night, he fell asleep faster than he had in a long time. Sometime later, his girlfriend shook him awake. Her voice was small and scared. She said something was pulling her leg. He was barely conscious, too tired to process it, too used to fear to respond the way he should have. He kissed her forehead, murmured that it was probably nothing, and drifted back toward sleep. Then a voice shouted directly into his ear. It wasn't distant. It wasn't imagined. It wasn't part of a dream. The sound was loud enough to hurt, close enough that it felt like breath against his skin. His eyes snapped open. The German Shepherd was sitting upright in bed, frozen. His body was rigid, ears forward, eyes locked on the doorway to the playroom. Something ran across the foot of the bed, heavy, fast. The door to the other room flew open and slammed against the wall. The light between the rooms was on just like it always was, but the playroom beyond it didn't look normal. The darkness inside it was thick, unnatural, like the light refused to enter. He couldn't see shapes. He couldn't see movement. He didn't need to. Every instinct he had told him not to move, not to speak, not to breathe too loudly. It felt like if he did, something irreversible would happen. They didn't sleep again that night. A little while later, shaking, they went into the playroom to smoke a cigarette, trying to ground themselves in something physical, something real. His hands were trembling so badly, he almost dropped his phone when he checked the time. It was 3 a.m., and when they finally lay back down, he faced away from her, listening to the dog's breathing, his body rigid with tension. 20 minutes passed. Then he felt fingers touch his back, slow, deliberate, sliding downward once, twice, three times. He almost spoke, almost asked if it was her. The words stopped in his throat as the realization hit him. Whatever touched him was not human. After that night, sleep became something to fear. A few nights later, he dreamed he was being possessed. It was the most real dream he had ever experienced. The room looked almost exactly the same, just slightly wrong, like a distorted reflection. He saw the figure in the corner and tried to get up, tried to run for the holy water they kept nearby. He couldn't move. It laughed. The sound was deep and mocking, vibrating through his chest. He tried to scream as everything went dark. His girlfriend woke him up, shaking him, crying, telling him he had been screaming in his sleep. The next night, while they lay awake in silence, he heard that same laugh coming from the playroom. Then came the scratches. One evening in the kitchen, his girlfriend suddenly jumped and said her leg burned. They went upstairs and checked. There was nothing there. A few minutes later, three red scratch marks appeared on her skin, parallel. Another night, when they were home alone, they heard the sound of a child running up the stairs. Footsteps, movement, something darting through rooms. It never came back down. Later, one of the dogs chased something across the downstairs rooms, barking wildly at empty air. Objects continued to vanish and reappear. Phones rang in rooms they had just searched. Shadows ran past the bathroom while he showered, stopping long enough for him to see their outline through the curtain before disappearing. The house felt crowded, angry, hungry. His grandmother's personality changed dramatically as her illness worsened. She became cruel, volatile, unrecognizable. Arguments erupted over nothing. The atmosphere in the house turned toxic. The worse she became, the more active the house felt. When she left again for treatment, things slowed. When she returned, they surged back stronger. That was when he finally understood something he had avoided his entire life. The house wasn't just haunted, it was feeding. feeding on fear, on illness, on grief, on conflict, on suffering, and he didn't have to stay. Leaving didn't happen overnight. It took planning, saving, and more courage than he ever expected. There was no dramatic final confrontation, no cleansing ritual, no moment where the house released him. He simply moved out. The day he packed his things, the house felt heavier than ever, like it knew what was happening, like it was watching him load boxes into his car. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't look back when he drove away. Nothing followed him. No shadows, no voices, no footsteps in new places, no figures in the corners of unfamiliar rooms. The fear didn't vanish completely. Years later, he still dreams about the house, not about ghosts, not about figures, about realizing he's still living there, about trying to leave and discovering he can't. He wakes up sweating, heart racing, needing several seconds to remind himself where he is. He still sleeps with lights on, still checks corners without thinking, still feels a rush of panic when he wakes up in the dark. The trauma stayed, the haunting did not. Some places aren't meant to be survived. They aren't meant to be understood or fixed or explained away. They're meant to be escaped. He doesn't wonder what became of the house. He doesn't drive past it. He doesn't look it up. He doesn't ask questions. He is grateful every single day that he doesn't live there anymore. Because whatever was in that house didn't want him dead. It wanted him there. And leaving was the only way he ever truly won.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.